We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to the Domestic Abuse Breakthrough Show, where we tackle violence against women and girls through education, empowerment, and hope. Join Kate, a survivor and advocate, as she shares insights, strategies, and stories that inspire healing and action. Together, we'll break the cycle and pave the way for a future of safety and strength. This show contains a trigger warning. And now, here's your host, Kate Beasley.
So welcome back to another episode. And today I am rejoined by Gemma Smith. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So today we thought we'd discuss the topic of grooming, because it's a little bit of a when people think grooming, they think
grooming gangs.
Typically what Gemma experienced. And grooming can happen in so many different ways. So grooming is essentially where somebody takes advantage of a vulnerability, an innocence, and uses it to their advantage. The reason why we came up with this topic was because we were talking about a couple on TikTok who've been in the media, yes, all over the media. And that is a classic form of grooming. Now, we can't say beyond reasonable doubt that this is what's happening. However, what is happening is the media is glamorizing this sort of relationship. And it's not good at all, is it?
No, absolutely not. You can tell just by looking at the situation, there's an imbalance of power, you say?
Yeah.
He's a lot older than her. She doesn't look much older than his daughter. So naturally, in my eyes, why on earth is he attracted to somebody that doesn't look possibly a year over what his daughter looks like? This, to me, is very dangerous. And although it might be consensual, it doesn't sit right with me. And the fact that they are making money off this, and the fact that the press are glamorising it. And now I have my own daughter, to think of her at 21 years old. And this 21-year-old isn't, she doesn't look 21. She's not, she's not a woman. To me, I don't see a woman there. I see a young girl. So the fact that the press and social media are pumping this through the algorithm is really worrying to me. And should a man of this stature come and pick my daughter up at 21 years old, I'd have something to say about it. And there's absolutely no way my daughter would be leaving the house, let alone getting pregnant with a man like this.
Well, he was 18 when he first got into a relationship and dating. So, you know, she was very much a it's always consensual. And this was the issue that you had, remember? They said to you, you chose to do X, Y, and Z. But actually, you were lured into a trap, mm-hmm, that you weren't even aware of. So yes. It's not what you chose to do. And okay, so let's say in this situation, yes, she's chose to get into a relationship, but as do many, many, many girls of that age. It's not unusual. You know, we've all been that age and we've all found older men more attractive, more exciting, more interesting. Boys our own age, they're always deemed as immature, aren't they, at that age?
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon for this to happen. So yes, is it consensual? Of course it's consensual.
Yeah.
Of course. But just because it's consensual doesn't mean to say that the older party, and in this case it is the man that is the older party, is not taking advantage of that willingness to please.
Yes.
And that easiness to mold. You know, somebody of that age is too eager to please somebody, because it's like, well, if I don't do what they want, then they'll see me as a child, and yeah, they'll see me as immature, and well, no, I want to be a big girl, and yeah. I'm all growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is what happens. So although yes, it is consensual, we've got to look at the whole dynamics, the whole picture here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the fact, even little videos she's done where she's doing stuff with the little teenage daughter just proves she's still got that innocence about her, where she wants to do face masks. And, you know, the fact she's calling herself a stepmom at 21 to a daughter that's not much.
16.
Yeah, younger than her. I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Something doesn't sit right with me. And the fact that they've made so much money off this and people aren't calling it out baffles me.
Baffles me.
And this brings me to the point of, why aren't we calling these white English groomers out? You know, if we are calling the South Asian and Middle Eastern groomers out, why aren't we calling out every groomer by their race and ethnicity? You know, it's true.
Yeah.
And it's going on right before our eyes, but because it's on social media and they've got a certain amount of likes and hits, it's deemed as okay, but that's not okay. And if they weren't on social media and it wasn't glamorized in this community, he would be shunned. In any regular community of the white British community, he would be normally shunned.
Yeah.
But because social media have made it all right, and goodness knows how many young kids are watching this thinking, oh, I'm going to get myself a sugar daddy. I'm going to get myself an older man. You know, it's instilling a mindset into young girls that we really need to eradicate.
And that's not to say that every single age, because often we'll get people that will say, oh, well, I've got a big age gap between my... Look, there are the exceptions to the rule. Absolutely. I mean, let's look at Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas.
Yes. You know,
that was a classic one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But there's the exceptions to the rule. There are the exceptions to the rule. You know, you could argue that Michael Douglas was doing, wanting a nice, pretty girl, young girl on his arm. And and there will have been elements of that.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, it's worked. Fortunately, it's not turned to control or abuse.
Yes.
As far as we're aware, as far as the world's aware.
Yeah.
but as a whole, it's a problem. It is a problem. And again, you know, not to say that every single age gap is a problem, but you've got to look at all the other circumstances around it. Where, so if you've got somebody who is our age, for example, and they go for somebody who is 10 years younger, 15 years younger even, is it a big deal? No, not really, because... unless there is a power imbalance again.
Yeah.
If they've both got their shit together.
Yeah.
And they've both got life experience at that age, at both those ages. There's nothing for either one to take advantage of.
Yes.
But certainly when you've got one that is barely out of nappies.
Yes.
Pretty much. It is... They still have their innocence, don't they?
Absolutely, which brings me to my relationship. So when I got out of my grooming gang, I then got into a relationship with a 27-year-old. I was 16. When I lost my virginity, I hadn't started puberty or my period, so that actually brought it on. I wasn't ready, but I felt pimped out by my mother, so to speak, which is a story I'll go into another time. So I lost my virginity to a 25-year-old when I was 15. So there again, an imbalance of power. 100%. And then when I was 16, I got into a relationship with a 27-year-old, again, an imbalance of power. Now, I wasn't sexually experienced when I got with this 27-year-old, and he made me do things that a 16-year-old girl shouldn't be doing. Yeah. And you can all use your imagination, right? So there again, it was an imbalance of power. And I felt like I wanted to please him because I thought, oh, well, this is what women are doing, so I must do it. And he introduced me to the world of Anne Summers, or Love Honey, you would call it these days. And I was 16. My pajamas still had Little Miss Naughty on and teddy bears on and, you know, little characters. I was a child. I was a child and I'd barely started puberty. So how can a man find me attractive in any form, especially without clothes on, because I hadn't started puberty and I had undeveloped breasts? How can a man find that attractive? Now, I know there's a lot of developed 16-year-old girls out there, but there's a lot of underdeveloped 16-year-old girls out there. So, you know, it's got to stop. It's got to stop, but it's kind of brushed under the rug, and it does make you think, doesn't it, when people say, oh, well, you're not calling these white English men out. And I don't think we have for many years. We haven't called out these perpetrators because that's what they are.
Yeah.
They're perpetrators. Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, what perpetrators do in the very early stages, and this is grooming in itself. They be what they need to be to drop your guard and to win your affection, to win the prize.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Absolutely.
They will be and do and say what they know you need to feel safe.
Yeah.
Emotionally safe.
Yeah.
But that isn't, it's only real if it's consistent. If it's not consistent, it was an act to get you in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we see, and how long they can hold this act up is varies greatly from perpetrator to perpetrator. Mm-hmm. Some of them drop the guard pretty quickly. Others, they can keep this act up for many years. In fact, it's a prime example with this couple on TikTok, actually. You see him, a 45-year-old man, doing all this.
Yes.
All now, I know, things. Obviously, the listeners can't see this, but it's all the pouting and the, you know, the peace sign and the...
All doing all that with her.
Yeah. But so his act is doing what he's being her.
He's imitating younger characteristics to make her feel that he's a young, hip guy when really
he's an old curve,
you know?
Yeah.
In my eyes, that's my opinion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's how they started dating, was he was hanging around with her and her friends that were aged between the age of 18 and 22, 23, from what I recall from the video anyway. But what is a man of 40, at that time, 40 years of age, doing... Yeah. Hanging around with kids, young people of that age, what has he got in common with anybody that age?
Zero. Absolutely.
Exactly. Nothing. Yeah.
He's just saw a group of young girls and thought, ooh, prime target. Which one's the weakest? And he's found the weakest link. Mm. And he sprayed on her. Sprayed on her. And then he's made a pretty penny out of it because he's exploiting her. In my eyes, he's exploiting her to make these videos for money. He's seen a cash cow and he's took it.
Yeah, but he's not daft though. He's very smart.
Yes.
What he's doing is he is. So again, you know, she'll do videos where she's saying demonstrate. So all this performance on social media is done through her account.
Yeah.
So it's as though this is all her idea to make the relationship of a performance. So, of course, she's making money off that through her TikTok and everything else because she's got quite a very large following. Mm-hmm. But then she'll do videos where she's saying, oh, for his 45th birthday, I've booked us into this really expensive hotel and we're doing X, Y, and Z. So it's been positioned as though, well, there's no control here because this is a level playing field. Mm-hmm. I make my own money. But she makes her own money as a result of
him exploiting
the fame and attention she's getting from this relationship.
Yeah. This relationship, which is clearly, like you say again, an imbalance of power. It is, you can tell.
Under normal circumstances, would it have got the attention? Absolutely not. Nobody would give a monkey's.
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason why people are interested in your life.
Yeah.
And they know that this is a taboo subject.
It is.
And, of course, now she's pregnant. In fact, they did a video where she's in video themselves in Sainsbury's picking up a magazine that they'd got a double page spread on, and people are looking at them as if to say, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But it's like, well, great, you know, I'm double page spread because I'm pregnant to a man that's old enough to be my father.
Yes, absolutely. It's a circus. It's a circus. And she doesn't see that, but he does.
Oh, he does. Of course he does.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. But he doesn't. She thinks, oh, this is social media. No, sweetheart. Like half of the nation is actually thinking, what on earth?
Yeah.
What on earth?
And when you watch the videos as well, you can see he doesn't always have a lot to say for himself.
He never speaks. It's very strange.
Yeah. He keeps very much. He shows his face and he's pouting and he'll say a few words, but he doesn't have much to say for himself. Well, you've got to ask yourself why.
He doesn't want to put a foot wrong. He doesn't want to ruin it.
He clearly had a lot to say when you were...
talking to her in the pub, reeling her in, and now you've become mute. Yeah, it makes no sense to me. I don't like watching it. The videos make me feel uneasy, and I don't like it. I don't like it because when I was a young girl, I was preyed upon by many, many older men, and it just brings back lots of memories now. There was a time when one of my friend's fathers actually forced me into his van, and he was 52 and I was 17. So watching this kind of video reminds me of that because he looked very similar to my friend's dad. And it's, why do these men think they can do that?
No.
It's predatory. That's all I can say. It's barbaric even, you know. I don't like it.
No, me
neither. I don't feel comfortable that TikTok are promoting it either. I really don't feel comfortable.
No. Well, it's even worse that the media, I mean, with everything that's been going on of late, you know, it's like, what on earth are you thinking? You are glamorizing to these young girls. We've got a huge problem as it is. We've been with violence and abuse towards women, girls and children.
Yes.
And you're glamorising this in the media. What are you thinking?
I think it's all done on purpose. The same with Bonnie Blue, why her content gets pumped same through thing. The algorithm. Her content should be for one platform and one platform only, and that's for PORN, you know. It should not be on our children's algorithms. It shouldn't be on our algorithms. No. It shouldn't be coming up on social media where children are rife on it, you know.
Yeah.
How can she feel? Well, I don't think she's got any feelings.
Yeah.
All she thinks about is money, and that's what everybody seems to be thinking about. They're willing to put themselves in such a bad light for the sake of social media presence and money. We're living in very dark times. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the Bonnie Blue, they are glamorizing women just being objects.
Objects, yeah.
And, you know, it's glamorizing essentially what happened to you, Gem.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I've said on many occasions, that whole bedroom scene with the protection on the floor from the people that bothered to use it, I don't know if they all use it, that whole bedroom scene, it makes me feel sick. I'm actually shaking with anger. Just thinking about it, because I saw it and I could only see it. I didn't want to see it again, but it popped up and the cameras were there and the lighting and the beds, and it took me to a place I've not been for a very long time.
Yeah.
And the fact this is promoted on social media, I think there's got to be more behind it. I don't know if the government are pumping it to aid the cover up. I don't know if, you know, I just don't know.
Well, you know, that is grooming in itself.
Yeah.
It's the media is grooming the vulnerable.
Yeah,
because it's where grooming is glamorizing a lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
an undesirable lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
so that people want it.
Yeah,
and they want to be part of it.
Yeah,
and by doing that, it's just It's not good.
No, it's not good. It's not good at all.
No, and you're, and the thing is, women and girls who have deep emotional wounds and insecurities, it's not uncommon for them to
the industry
to identify themselves as to be over sexualized, to be sexually promiscuous, and you know, to people who don't understand, who don't know better, will see that as that they're the problem, but actually it's they just want doing anything. They know what men want.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, I just want to feel loved, and that becomes their association to love.
Yes, it does. It does. It did for me for many years,
yeah.
It made me highly promiscuous at one point in my life, where I viewed intimacy as love, and so wrong. Couldn't be further from the truth,
Yeah. It's too common. It's too common. It's a trauma response.
It is a trauma response.
Yeah, but of course, you know, these men will be aware of this and they're exploiting it.
Yes. So that's why, Kate, we are going to try and change the dynamics of social media.
We are.
We're going to go at it tooth and nail, because some of us folk that have done the healing need to be the healing and help these other girls and women heal.
Yeah.
And guide them on the right track through social media. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
And I bet you any money or we will be at the bottom of the algorithm, but we've got to try, Kate. And that's what we're going to do. We've got to try.
And when you're not using these buzzwords, Gem, we do. We get bound down to the bottom of the.
Yeah, That's it. And this, Kate, brings me to why I had to delve into my criminal history, because nobody would have been interested. So I've had to make my story appealing to certain people, to build the platform, to build momentum, to be able to raise awareness for SA, DV, coercion, grooming. Yeah. Because if I didn't do that, Kate, no one would give me an opportunity. So I've had to delve into my criminal history to get on a top podcast to raise awareness. So that's what we're doing. And if I can bring decent women with me in the... Well, no, I say women, men and women, because I've got Wesley Cunliffe, who's an anti-knife crime advocate and child exploitation advocate. So if we can build a good, solid force of strong people, then we're going to change the dynamics of social media. I'm adamant. We're going to try anyway, Kate. Yeah. We're going to try.
We are. Yeah. We're just going to break for a short interval. And we shall see you after the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. So obviously we've covered intimate relationships and how it can play out, but there's other ways people can be groomed. Authorities, workplace, schools, teacher, any power imbalance. If there's any power imbalance, you are open to grooming. And I don't know if we already touched on before the break. Anybody who's vulnerable being groomed by the media, putting these stories out, that is a form of grooming in itself. It's glamorizing an undesirable way of living that's exploiting somebody's vulnerability.
Completely.
So authorities, and obviously, you know, anybody who falls prey to any form of abuse-related crime will come into contact with the authorities. And we know it happens. There's been many cases that have leaked out about police officers, haven't there?
Absolutely.
And they use their power to groom based off somebody's innocence
and their trauma.
So
they know they are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And they prey on the vulnerabilities. And it happened to me in HMP Peterborough, which is a prison in the UK. I was in a vulnerable position. I'd just come out of an abusive relationship, hence why I was in prison. It was due to reactive abuse for stabbing my perpetrator. I managed to get a place on the mother and baby unit to raise my child, as I also give birth in prison. And there was an officer on there which had made a comment about that he didn't like, and he decided to make my life a living hell. And he started off by coming to my cell, giving it all the talk. I had to turn it around and make out that the comment I said I didn't mean, and that I thought he was a lovely officer, because I had to go into survival mode because I knew he'd make my life hell if I didn't. Unfortunately, he made my life hell in another way. He then came onto the wing on a weekend, because on a weekend there was only one staff member on, and he was the only staff member. Now, he moved me from a cell which was across from the officer's office. He moved me into a cell where nobody could see. It was out of the eye's view. And he would come to my cell, close the door, which you're not supposed to do. If you're in the cell with a prisoner, you're supposed to leave the door open. He would say, "Oh, you're such a great mom. You're the best mom on the unit. I don't believe somebody like you should be in prison. I believe your ex should be in prison for putting you through trauma and hell." He would talk to me about what music he would like. He was always jangling his keys around. He was always singing Michael Bublé. He was a real showman. He was a real showman. And also, this is where the coercion started. And it wasn't just me he was coercing. It was the whole wing. Now, he grabbed, there was me and my little friend from Luton. She was in the cell two doors up from me. He came running onto the wing. It was a weekend as well. He always did these dramas on a weekend. He said, "Everybody in your cells, has been a bomb scare." He grabbed me and my little friend from Luton, grabbed us in, put us in my cell, closed the door, and he was all hot and panicking. And it turned out it was a whole fabrication, Kate. It was a big lie to get us all worried and scared as though he was the saviour. And, you know, and then he would say, make sure all the other girls would go to chapel, because on the mother and baby, you can still take your baby to worship. He would make sure all the other girls would go, so that he could get me on my own, specifically if my baby was out on visits with his father, because the fathers or the parents can come and pick the baby up. And then he would make me, well, he would have his way with me, full intimacy on numerous occasions. And I remember I had a day release, which is called ROTL, release on temporary license. And I came back and I was just showing everybody the little tracksuits that I bought for my baby. And he took me in my cell and he was like, "I wish that baby was my baby." And I was like, what the hell?
Oh, my God.
But because, Kate, they work in a clique, these officers. Now, if I'd have gone and said anything about it, they'd have turned on me and I would have got a charge, an extra charge, Kate.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get out of prison. So I kept it quiet. I took one for the team, so to speak, and didn't say anything until I got out of prison. But I wasn't the only girl he was doing it to. There was a traveller girl on there from Corby, and he timed it. He knew exactly when she got her pyjamas on from going in after servery, after our dinner time, and he would come and open her flap and catch her undressing every time, and he'd go, "Caught you again," and wink at her. And she told me this, and she goes, "Oh, I think he fancies me." And I was like, "Oh, he doesn't," but I couldn't tell her my situation, because he got her a job, Kate, as a cleaner on the mother and baby unit. You see how he could get his hands on everything, get his hands on everything. Anything he wanted, he got it, because he had the gift of the gab, Kate.
Yeah.
He was a showman, and everybody fell for it. Everybody fell for it. And then it wasn't until I got out of prison that my probation worker said to me, "I just want to pull something up," because he tried to get my early release, Kate, stopped. So HDC is, you can come out on tag for the rest of your sentence, which is usually about 3 or 4 months. He rang my probation worker and said, "Gemma said she doesn't feel comfortable to have her HDC. She'd rather stay in prison." And luckily my probation worker was a woman. She picked up on his tactics and said, "I just want to pick up on something with you. I had a very strange phone call with a prison officer, and he said, you don't want your early release, your HDC, which is electronic tag. You can come out of prison early for good behavior, and you can do the rest of your sentence on electronic tag." Yeah. And I said, "Oh, yeah," and I broke down. That was it. I just broke down and I told her everything. I said, "He did this, he did this, he did this." She goes, "I knew it." And she marched me to the police station. And the police officer said, "Was it SA?" And I said, "Well, not really. It was like coercion." Yeah. And it was an abuse of power, because he abused his status. Yeah. And he said, "Yeah, it's definitely abuse of power, and it's misconduct in office. We'll get him, we'll sort it out." So he admitted it, but like I've said before, he was able to talk his way out of it because I didn't attend court because, one, because I couldn't go through another SA case. I didn't want to do it. And two, because my partner's parents said, you really want to drag your name through the mud. If they can attend, if he can, they can proceed in your absence, go with it. Just go with it. And I did, but he was able to talk his way round and say, I seduced him. I was the seducer. I said we were soulmates. And he was a stand-up member of society because he did talks in schools around young girls. Well, why on earth would they let him in schools around young girls if he's SAing young girls in prison system?
Yeah.
And that's where it left. So he got, it's all on the internet. He got a slap on the wrist, basically, community service. But he, you know, at least he wasn't doing it to any more young girls.
Yeah.
He knows what his job title is now. Let's just hope he learned his lesson.
Yeah. And, you know, just to obviously highlight what the tactic that's taken place here is, he's not come on to you. What he's done is he's tried to woo you. He's tried to entice you with benefits, shall we say, benefits over that he has the power to give you. Mm-hmm. Leniency that he has the power to give you, mm-hmm. within that controlled environment. So he's trying to get it so that you were the one that came onto him. That's what he was trying to do. That's how he was trying to position it. So he can't be accused of anything, you know, sexual harassment or anything like that, because he's trying to position it so that you come onto him, initiate some sort of relationship. He's trying to make you feel as though he has feelings for you and you reciprocate it. Yeah. That's grooming. So this is how grooming happens in such subtle ways. It is not just in the traditional sense. You know, and again, it's not uncommon for perpetrators. And so grooming doesn't just happen at the start of the relationship. A grooming tactic can take place throughout a whole relationship, whether that be a professional relationship, whether that be a personal relationship. And it's not uncommon for a perpetrator to position themselves as your cause of pain or your cause of trouble, and then position themselves as your savior.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are your source of pain and your savior all in one big messy package.
Yeah, absolutely. One big messy package.
Yeah. So when people say, but why doesn't she leave? That is why it's so difficult to leave. Because that's one of the many reasons why it's so difficult to leave.
Yeah.
Because they position themselves as, well, as a necessity in your life. Well, okay, yeah, they're causing me pain. Yeah, they're causing me trouble and distress. But actually, now I've got this trouble, I need them to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why people don't speak out, particularly if it's authority figures.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they are, we know they all come together and they know they all close ranks.
They do.
And people know this. So I need to keep them on side because actually they could turn the tables and I could be the one that's deemed the problem.
Absolutely. And I would have been. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're just going to break for another interval and we shall see you after the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So, welcome back. So, obviously, we've gone into, you know, some detail into, you know, two core areas that grooming can take place. But, you know, it can take place anywhere in life. We can be groomed. Where somebody has an advantage over you, and they want to get something out of you, like we said, the workplace is a common place that coercion. Sorry, not coercion. Well, it does coercion. It is coercion. Yeah. Grooming can take place. You know, offering you a promotion, and then come, and then a boss coming on to you.
Yes, I've had it. Yeah.
Yeah. That is, and of course, then you go along with it because definitely what you, you really, really, really want that step up the ladder and recognition and work so hard for it and you want it. You want that's a form of grooming.
It is a form of grooming, and it happened to me. I was working in chambermaiding in a hotel in Buxton, and I really wanted to get onto silver service because I saw that as a step up being a young girl. And my best friend's sister's husband dragged me in a broom cupboard and basically tried to SA me, put his hand up my skirt and start to kiss me. And he was so petrified that I was going to say something. He said, oh, if I give you a silver service job, will you keep your mouth shut? And obviously I did because I just thought, well, I wanted to do silver service anyway, but I was only 14, 15. Yeah. You know, that's grooming. He was 28 and I was 14, 15. It's one grooming scandal after another with me, but until you recognise it.
Yeah.
People don't realise it's happening now every single day, everywhere. Yeah. Especially in bar work, I find the manager's always very groomy with the young ladies. You know, two of my friends have just left a bar work because the manager was, do this and I'll get you assistant manager's job. No, mate, go away, you know, and they left, luckily. So it happens all the time, every day, in every shape and form. Yeah.
I mean, it can happen with you know, from your own family members.
Yes.
And... in some way, I mean, this example I'm going to give can be a generational thing that's taking place. You know, we see so many people that, you know, every generation after generation after generation have maybe gone into medicine, gone into law. Mm-hmm. And if you don't really want to do that and you feel and you're being sort of pushed in that direction, and enticed into that direction, and you feel obliged to go along with it, mm-hmm. so you don't upset your family, and they know this, mm-hmm. that is still a form of grooming.
It is.
You're being groomed into a career that you actually don't particularly enjoy or...
It's just to keep up appearances.
That puts up a pressure to be able to, you know, keep your grades up, to be able to be good enough.
Yeah.
And then that opens it up to, you know, being feeling like a failure. Schools do it. Private schools do it, Jen. Private schools do it. It's so common with some of the high-profile private schools that have really high academic entry requirements.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one certainly that I know of locally to here is they have no qualms about kicking a child out, and they do it from year three in primary school. If they're not up to academic standard as per the standard that they expect for their school, mm-hmm. they will tell the parents to leave, pull the child out.
Mm.
So they're grooming them into into being a high achiever when maybe that doesn't come naturally to them. Maybe they're better at sports. Maybe they're better at being creative.
Yes.
But they're being groomed and manipulated that, well, if you don't meet our standard, we'll kick you out.
Yeah.
And we you know, with our reputation, this is the place to be.
Yeah.
You know, this is a school that you want to be. You're a privilege to be here. Well, then you need to meet our expectations.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting. That's disgusting. That's a disgusting thing that they're doing to these young children.
It's too much. It's going to lead to mental illness.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. The constant pressure, you know, back in Neanderthal days, we would walk around, kill a lion, go to the cave, eat it, and that's all that was expected of us, you know. And yes, of course, we've evolved, but we also need that freedom. We're naturally free people, you know. We need that freedom as well. Boxing us off in a classroom can be very traumatic for our brains when we're forced constantly to do something that we're not remotely interested in, you know.
I remember when, obviously, my daughter's homeschooled now, yes. but and I pulled her out for, you know, lots and lots of reasons along those what we've just discussed. But she was distressed every day going into school, yeah. and she was academically yeah. behind as a result. I mean, obviously, it wasn't just because of that she was distressed; it was because of obviously everything that she was exposed to with her dad. But
yeah.
As a result of all that, you know, she was academically behind. I was then getting the pressure of, well, you know, the attendance is down. And I was really under pressure, really, even though, you know, we were engaging with CAMHS. The CAMHS therapist had even said they weren't even following the CAMHS therapist advice about, you know, an easy introduction of a morning to make it easier for her. Yeah. I don't know. They wouldn't even accommodate that. So I'm obviously me being trained in, I was actually trained in trauma at that point. So of course I was, you know, like, okay, I'm too close to this situation. It's too personal to me. Okay. Yeah. I get it. You could say that I'm not being subjective. I'm, you know, looking at, you know, this through a one lens.
Yeah.
But you're not taking the CAMHS therapist's advice either. And I sat in a meeting with the safeguarding lead, and she turned around to me and she admitted, our children are being institutionalized.
Yeah, so true. It is.
And I thought, I actually can't believe, look, we know this is what's happening. You've only pointed out the obvious to me. But I actually can't believe you've sat here and you've admitted that's what you're doing to our children.
Wow.
And that is grooming.
Yeah. That's grooming.
When you institutionalize your victim,
yeah,
you've groomed them into living by a set of rules.
Yeah.
That benefits one person only.
Yeah. The state, the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disgusting.
So grooming,
I think
grooming is just, you know, it happens in so many different ways. Yes. Yeah. And I think this is what this and it is basically, in a nutshell, coercive control.
And we're waking up to it now. And that's why there's so much talk about it, because we are finally waking up to it. You know, people want to criticize woke. And I think extreme wokeism can be too much, but if we didn't wake up, we'd still be, you know, blinded to all of this. You know, people are starting to wake up now and demand their freedoms, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any final advice that you would give to the audience, Gem, given you've got a vast array of personal experience,
the best advice I can give is, if something's too good to be true, mm-hmm. it usually is.
Absolutely.
And that's all I can say. It's always the devil in disguise every time. For me, it has been. I can't tell you a time when it hasn't, when somebody's actually been a good egg, you know. It's always been a devil in disguise. They sell you a dream and deliver you a nightmare every time.
Yeah.
So if they're too charming or the offer's too good, it's going to get you in hot water. Don't accept it. Just be so aware.
Yeah. And I always say, don't make yourself too dependent on anybody. You know, it's the biggest mistake that anybody can do. I mean, one of the biggest regrets of my life was, you know, and I've always been very, very independent. You know, I learned that very quickly, because obviously of what I experienced as a child myself, and from my dad was very controlling.
Yeah.
But when I got pregnant, I allowed my then husband to persuade me to give up my business, moving, you know, working in any capacity. I allowed him to persuade me. And he positioned it perfectly originally, because he knew I liked my independence.
Yeah.
And he said, I know this is important to you, but but I don't want you to put any pressure on you. You're a new mum. You're recovering from preeclampsia. She's not sleeping very well. I've got this.
Yeah.
I can, and I thought, and I did, and which I thought, you know, and I, but when I started to position things so that I was putting things in place to be able to build an online business, he didn't like it. When he found out, he did not like it, and it became very apparent, actually, no, this is not just a stopgap of I've got this to give you some breathing space. This is an expectation.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest mistake I ever made.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I would always say to anybody. Always, the only person you can 100% depend on is yourself.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you can, even, no matter how reliable a partner is, a family member is, a friend is, never get to the point where you are solely dependent on them.
Yeah.
The only person you can depend on 100% is yourself. Yeah. And that's the way I would advise anybody to live their life, because then you don't, it's not to say don't accept people's help, because that's not good either. I guess accept people's help, but always know that actually, if they don't follow through and come through for me, I can do this myself.
Absolutely.
Who's the backup plan? You are the backup plan.
Yeah.
Nobody else is the backup plan. You are the backup plan.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I agree.
Yeah.
My grandmother did it for too long. She coerced me and controlled me with money for too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, darling. It has been a pleasure, as always.
You're welcome.
And yes, we'll be getting Jem on again, and we'll talk about some of the various different topics we can be talking about.
Yeah.
So you'll see more of Gemma. Or hear more of Gemma, shall we say, because it's radio. Yep. Thank you for listening. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in and being part of this vital conversation. If you feel inspired to take action and support women, girls and children affected by abuse, please visit the show notes in Kate's bio on UK Health Radio. There you can register your interest in becoming a certified trauma-informed expert, specialising in topics that address this ever-growing crisis. Together, we can shape a safer future for those who need it most. Until next time, stay strong, stay informed, and remember, you are never alone.